From the underground bunker of the Civitas Studio in Raleigh, North Carolina, it's Civitalk with your hosts, Brooke Medina and Ray Notstein. We're here to connect culture with civics, making it relevant to your daily life. And dare we say, existence at a time where too many are triggered and offended. So, relax, but buckle up, and let's wade into the deep end of what's really happening in your old North State.
Welcome to another edition of Civitalk. I'm here with my good friend Brooke Medina. We're going to talk Thanksgiving. We're going to talk actually about how much it's overrated, at least the food, not the Thanksgiving part. But we're going to also talk Amazon, get into the pipeline with Roy Cooper and some of that controversy. We have a lot to talk about, so let's get going today. Brooke, how are you doing?
I am doing well. It has been a busy day for me. One of my dearly beloved family members, also known as my husband, just had surgery, so we have been busy at the Medina home.
Going under the knife, I always feel like, you know, I've had some surgeries, minor surgeries, but it's always a major surgery when you're the one going under the knife.
Yeah, I know. I feel bad for him. My heart goes out to him, but it wasn't, thankfully, it wasn't like a major surgery on an organ or something like that, but it is something that requires ample pain medication, so anyways, that is actually getting him off the hook for doing a lot of the Thanksgiving prep work that I usually put on him. So he's lucky in that sense.
If I was a doctor, I would want to be a surgeon.
Because, oh, really?
Yeah, because I feel like they actually do something. And I'm not criticizing the other doctors, but you're going in and operating and making a difference. Sort of like, you know, very tangible difference instead of just pumping somebody full of medication.
So you
and
see
some people
it
need medication. I take medication, but you know, it's just sort of like the healing is very matter of fact. It happens or it doesn't.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Yeah. So, okay. So you're seeing immediate results. That's
right.
what you mean.
And
by
it'd be
that.
Cool to kind of cut into somebody.
Ooh,
like
Ray. No.
Do you have that game Operation as a kid?
Yes. I did like that game. That was an enjoyable.
That was fun.
Game, so. Anyways, but okay, so let's talk about Thanksgiving. I want to spend a little bit of time on that.
Yeah.
So, Ray, what you were talking about overrated Thanksgiving food?
Yeah, there's like so many overrated Thanksgiving foods. And the number one...
And I think that's a big fat lie, but
no,
this
is totally
ahead and explain
true.
Yourself.
I mean, who gets excited about the sort of Thanksgiving feast? Now, let's get into this just a second.
Me.
But okay, I'm just naming some of the traditional dishes. Green bean casserole... when do you ever make green bean casserole at any other time than Thanksgiving?
That's what makes it all the more special and flavorful, Ray.
No, I mean, what? It's like green beans with like...
cream of mushroom soup, sometimes a little soy sauce, fried onion.
Really soy
milk,
sauce. I like soy sauce.
Salt and pepper. It's amazing.
And then like, what, you just like throw croutons or something on top?
No.
What is
fried,
that? Stuff?
Fried onions.
Okay.
French is fried onions, Ray. Come
okay.
on. Clearly you don't spend much time in the kitchen on this.
I do, but not making casseroles that are gross. also, yams.
Yeah, what else are you going to hate
What are yams?
On? Yams, sweet potatoes.
It just doesn't sound that good to me.
With a bunch of marshmallows. Now, I will admit that is not my favorite. My dad always makes about two party size servings, enough to feed maybe 30 people of these candied yams. And so I am not a big fan of that. I usually just take like a couple because it's so sugary. Like they've got a bunch of pecans on it, brown sugar. So I can agree with the yams, but like macaroni and cheese, that's like... It's supreme. And then mashed potatoes, brown gravy, rolls, turkey with stuffing, and cranberry sauce. It's all amazing.
Okay, cranberry sauce, I don't like.
I put the cranberry sauce on my turkey.
So you're one of those people.
I will mix it all together. I would make a Thanksgiving
smoothie. I love cranberries, but I don't really like the cranberry sauce.
Oh, yeah. Well,
my wife and I are going to Popeyes, I think, to try the Cajun turkey.
Ooh, that sounds
good. It's kind of
good.
Expensive. I think it's like $41 or $39 or something. But we're going to try the Cajun turkey from Popeyes. I mm-hmm. think it's like maybe an hour and a half prep. It's already frozen. They roasted and flash fried. And so I think you just have to defrost it and heat it up. But I'm pretty excited about that because I love Cajun food. I've always wanted to try the Cajun turkey. We were going to do it last year, but they ran out by the time we contacted them. So
Ooh.
We called them again. They were out. But then they said they were getting a late batch, so we were able to get on them that second batch.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Pretty excited about that. Love Cajun food. loyal to Popeyes. I like Popeyes a little bit more than Bojangles.
Ooh, well, that's okay, because Bojangles got bought out recently, I think, by some Yankee company.
Oh,
so.
Yankees, yeah.
I can't really talk. I'm not originally from North
Carolina.
Their
chicken is very good, and their biscuits are probably a little bit better than Popeyes, but okay. To me, I've always just been a little loyal to Popeyes.
So my husband typically grills our turkey or smokes it on the grill. And
that sounds good.
Yeah, it's really, really good. It comes out really dark, so it looks as if it had been burnt, but it tastes amazing. It's incredible. So definitely a fan of that form of cooking the turkey, but I don't know.
I don't like any holidays. I mean, I like fat pants, but I don't like any holidays where you have to get your fat pants out because it makes you feel just bad as a person.
No, I have my fat pants ready from like the week of Halloween all the way till after New Year's,
right.
And they are my stretchy
pants. At least
pants,
it's not
swimsuit
season.
Just praise the Lord for that. So, anyways, Ray, we have got some quite a bit of news to talk about today. Especially with the announcement coming out of Amazon deciding where to actually establish HQ2, their second headquarters, which it was a little surprising, though, because they decided to split the headquarters into two. So HQ2 is splitting into two, and one will be in New York and Bronx, I believe.
Queens.
And then the other will be in Crystal City,
Arlington.
Which is Arlington. Okay. Mm. So that's in Virginia. So it will be those two places that get the privilege, and I'm using air quotes here, of hosting Amazon and becoming their new home. But what are some of your initial thoughts on that?
Well, I wrote a post yesterday. I know you read it, and it was just about the blowback from the political side. And I just wanted to look at, because the governor of New York, his name escapes me right at the moment. Yes, I can see his face. Cuomo and other politicos had this big press conference, you know, saying how great it was for New York, and they're patting each other on the back. And then you've got more of the harder left in New York really pushing back. So you have conservatives, libertarians, and the left, and the harder left in New York, the socialists, Ocasio-Cortez, Democratic elect, pushing back on this Amazon thing. So it's kind of blown up in their face a little bit because they offered such a bigger incentive package than Virginia, for one thing, which makes me think that Amazon knew where they were going all along. They just goaded New York into giving up more and more. And
yeah.
So you have a situation where there's just a lot of blowback. And I just kind of wrote a piece like the same thing could have happened in North Carolina. I think maybe some of the, including the governor and some of these politicos in North Carolina that put this package together, were really saved in a sense that they could have got some political blowback on this, especially if, they announced for Amazon here in the Triangle. There would have obviously been a lot of people who were overjoyed and happy and just celebrated it because, you know, it's a North Carolina thing, North Carolina pride, rah, rah. But there would have been, I think, a significant blowback, too, with the incentive package.
Yeah, I agree with you. There are a lot of people that are just not happy, despite there being all of this hoopla around Amazon coming to wherever they ended up deciding. People seem to be excited about that possibly being their area that got chosen. But when you think about it, it's actually not much of a gift. I know that Wall Street Journal actually just released an op-ed. It's pretty scathing, and it's talking about how the politicians failed in this matter when they were incentivizing one of the wealthiest people and the wealthiest companies in the world and luring them with taxpayers' money. Some of these taxpayers, they're really low-income people that are struggling to make ends meet, and yet their money is now going to
you're subsidizing people with over $100,000 salaries.
$150,000 salaries, and at least in those that are going to be placed in New York. That's the average salary there in Amazon. And so I know one of the Wall Street Journal.
Which is like chump change for some of that real estate property in that area.
Yeah. Yeah. The Wall Street Journal article says, as Amazon puts on its website, it works out to taxpayers' footing out of that $150,000 annual salary, $48,000 of that salary will be subsidized by New York taxpayers. So that means that the bodega owners in Brooklyn are supposed to be happy about subsidizing
right.
these hipster techie jobs. And it's a shame. And so I think, like what your article is at nccivitas.org, we've dodged a bullet in a lot of ways because this would have saddled Wake County down with even more taxes. Wake County was going to offer what? $277 million?
$77 million? Here's a tweet from Andy Spate. I think I pronounced his name right.
Spate.
Spate.
He's a journalist at the News and Observer.
Just kind of pointing out some of the politics on this. He said, under McCrory, North Carolina offered $67 million in incentives to create 7,300 jobs. Under Cooper, North Carolina offered $185 million in incentives to create 12,600 jobs. Now some say Cooper, who decried corporate tax cuts as corporate welfare, is a hypocrite. And I think Andy has a good point, and he's just pointing out just sort of the hypocrisy in some of this with the campaigning. I liked what the San Antonio mayor did from the get-go. I can't remember his name, but he said he's not going to play into Amazon's game. He's not going to debase his community or his city and sort of trying to get some sort of bid from Amazon. And what we talk about at Civitas, what our mission here is really breaking down barriers for all. And it has to be a level playing field in terms of the marketplace, giving opportunities for small startups. You mentioned bodegas in New York, for small entrepreneurial endeavors. There should not be an advantage for Amazon in that marketplace.
Especially
if there's going to be tax cuts, it should be for all.
Right. Taxpayers should not be responsible to prop up one particular company over another, especially when some of those people that are paying into the system are ones that are struggling to make ends meet.
Yeah.
Whether that be in the private sector or public sector employees, it doesn't matter. It's just, it's not right. So,
and it's up to the people, I think, really to recognize this to a better degree, because, you know, these politicians come out, they give these ribbon cutting ceremonies and they say, I brought all these jobs and stuff. And it's not about that. It's really about, I think, just having the right ethical framework for the common good in terms of just creating that playing field to attract businesses by their own merit instead of trying to offer up bribes through the, you know, the public's tax dollar.
Yeah, well, back to this Wall Street Journal article, it says that the worst actors here are the politicians who pose as job creators but are essentially job buyers, because that's really what it is. The politicians all of a sudden get to go to the ribbon cutting ceremonies and, you know, they get to rub elbows with these wealthy entrepreneurs, but then what they're really doing is they're committing our money, your money, my money, to incentivizing certain businesses and propping them up at our expense while others get to struggle and try to do things on their own. So it's very unfortunate, but on the other hand, we have a lot to celebrate then, right? Because we're not we're not stuck footing this bill like New York and Virginia are. So
yeah, but I mean, I think one of the disadvantages, I read a blog, I don't know who did it, but I just saw it scrolling through Twitter, and he was saying, well, we didn't get Amazon because we don't have enough public infrastructure. And they were talking about, we need to be spending more on public transportation. We need to create light rail and other sort of things. So there's already this hoopla or this call by a few, hopefully not a majority, because Wake County is just taxed exorbitantly as is, but they want to create this new infrastructure so they can attract businesses like Amazon through, you know, whether it be light rail or a better public transportation system, which I don't think is, you know, there's a real market for in Raleigh.
Yeah, I don't think there is either. And can you imagine the school system if Amazon had come here? I know our policy director, Bob Libke, is actually just finishing up an article on this, and it has to do with, let's say 50,000 Amazon, we got the bid for Amazon, 50,000 employees came here, and even, let's say, a third of them had children. And out of those third, maybe most of them had two, on average, two kids. That's at least 30,000 children that would be put in the Wake County school system, and we're not prepared for that drastic of an influx of students. And so, yeah, it causes all of these other things that maybe people don't initially think about. They just think, oh, the jobs. Well, if the jobs are actually, if some of the people are coming from North Carolina already, it's not like we're getting new jobs anyways. It's just they're transferring jobs too. So there's just some other components to this. And so anyways, I would just say dry your eyes. If you've been crying about Amazon not coming here in North Carolina, I think you should be celebrating and running victory laps instead.
I think that's a good point.
Yeah. But let's also talk about something else that has been in statewide news lately, and that's with respect to Governor Cooper and the two pipelines, actually, the Atlantic Coast Pipeline and the Mountain Valley Pipeline.
Southgate.
Yep, the Southgate project of the Mountain Valley Pipeline, because that runs actually from farther up north, definitely through Virginia, and would be coming into North Carolina through Alamance and Rockingham counties.
Correct.
But the Atlantic Coast Pipeline is going on, it's running through the eastern part of our state. But There is a lot of, I would say, questionable behavior from the Cooper administration with respect to this pipeline. So there had the General Assembly had a, or one of the committees at the General Assembly had a special session, and they have actually called in a private investigator because last December there was some negotiations going on between the Cooper administration and the Atlantic Coast Pipeline, and the Atlantic Coast Pipeline did not get their permit approved until January. But once that permit was approved, it was a matter of days when the memorandum of understanding was actually released, which committed $57.8 million from the Atlantic Coast Pipeline to go to the Cooper administration so that they could administer or allocate how they saw fit to mitigate environmental damage, economic stimulus programs, and other forms of energy, like go to other forms of energy. And so people are wondering, what's really going on here? Why does the Cooper administration, why are they the only ones that get this money? So what are some of your thoughts on the pipeline?
Yeah, I think one of the problems with, you know, the alleged slush fund or what's going on in there, I think Cooper should just release the documents he has. I think that would clear up a lot of the controversy surrounding it. It looks like there was a slush fund. He should release the documents. I don't understand why he's not doing that unless there's some sort of cover-up. So that, I think, is basically the crux of the situation. Here is the News and Observer, an article just from yesterday, I believe. North Carolina lawmakers voted Wednesday to hire private investigators to look into whether Governor Roy Cooper's administration improperly issued a state permit to the Atlantic Coast Pipeline this year on a condition of securing $57.8 million contribution from the energy consortium that's building the natural gas pipeline. So on top of that, now you have the DEQ saying this Mountain Southgate project, they don't need it. The MVP Southgate project is not needed.
Right. And because of the Cooper administration's behavior with the previous pipeline, and we see that there is no memorandum of understanding or slush fund offered by MVP for their Southgate project, one has to wonder, well, was this truly pay to play? And we don't know. That's why a private investigator is being hired. But
do you know what a private investigator means? Because I don't know that. I was just looking. I was like, are those going to be attorneys? Are those actual private investigators with like magnifying glasses, like Inspector Gadget?
Yes, that's what I'm going to go with. Totally picturing Inspector Gadget right now. So a Magnum PI, I don't know. Yes.
We'll try to find that out for you you don't know. You may know, so you can just pop that in our comments. I'm just kind of interested in who these private investigators are. I mean, it may just be people who are investigative attorneys, or it may be actual PIs with a shingle outside their house or something. I don't know.
Sherlock Holmes, we don't know. But either way, that is something extremely concerning. And I think we all need to just keep our eyes open and our ears listening to what's actually happening with regards to this. It's not going away. This is Civitas actually filed an ethics complaint back in February with respect to this. And so we're going to continue to watch it, but we've written about this at nccivitas.org. And Leah Byers, our policy analyst, has covered this. Civitas Action released a press release on it yesterday. But either way, it's just interesting because the Mountain Valley Pipeline Southgate project apparently is not needed, according to NCDEQ, yet the Atlantic coastline was totally fine and totally needed after they agreed to a $57.8 million slush fund. So,
yeah, and then they said it was for the schools when it became public, which was a little bit
and it wasn't for the schools. Yeah, it was for three other things. So anyways, definitely stuff to be concerned about, because that's
we just need more transparency in government integrity. In general, whoever's in office, whoever's leading the state, there needs to be more transparency with our state government, especially with all the corruption that we have in politics in Washington, D.C. Transparency is warranted here in North Carolina.
Yes, it is. And it's hopefully a little bit easier to keep our state officials and local officials transparent when compared to the federal government, because we can show up in Raleigh and, you know, go visit their offices.
But you would agree, Brooke, that an investigation is needed, right? I mean, you know,
yes,
there's a big pushback. You know, I didn't go into the quotes, but there's some pushback saying, oh, this is just politics. This is just getting back at the governor for losing an election, or because we felt like the Republicans lost or something. But I mean, this is a legitimate issue. And I think it's a serious issue that, like was mentioned, just warrants more disclosure and more transparency.
Here's why it's very legitimate. Some of those environmental groups that get to will be awarded those funds, they could be people that are already investing in the Cooper campaign, right? Or have invested.
Right.
Because numerous environmental groups have made campaign donations to Governor Cooper, to his reelection campaign or his election campaign back in 2016. So I think that they're... an investigation is warranted. And if there is nothing going on, then I would say if I were in Governor Cooper's shoes, I would want to be able to be exonerated.
Yeah.
And my name cleared.
I guess I mean, but
let's translate that to the federal level with the Trump investigation.
I think too, I don't understand the just sort of axing or saying we don't need the project when North Carolina, especially that area, is growing. The state's growing. And to me, I mean, natural gas is a very clean, very easily transferable source of energy. So to me, it just was sort of troubling why you just said, oh, that's not needed. I mean,
right.
It's just sort of like you're signaling to your environmental base and not doing anything else. I don't think you're really thinking through the issue holistically about what are the energy needs of the state. I mean, coal is a shrinking resource to some degree because there are better energy resources out there. And so I just don't understand why, considering the safety of natural gas, why it decided it wasn't needed. I mean, it's a growing area. They do need more affordable energy supplies.
Absolutely. And that will drive down the cost if those pipelines are there. So, and by the way, why is it the federal government's job or the state government's job to decide whether or not private goods are needed in the right. among the populace? It's like a certificate of need law, but for energy. And I mean, I know that there are the... eminent domain issues that come into play if the pipeline's right. built and things like that. And that does need, that will be addressed and the government will be involved with that. But when it comes to controlling supply, that's not something that a free market capitalist society should be too concerned about. It can handle itself.
Right.
So anyways, we will continue to watch that as well. But Leah Byers just wrote that article called
Go read Leah's piece.
Pipelines,
she explains it better than we can, I think.
Yeah, Pipelines, Permits, and Cooper Slush Fund. That is at nccivitas.org. And then also be on the lookout for Bob's article, which is on education funding and how that Amazon would have impacted that negatively in Wake County. But hey, Ray, so now that the Democrats have taken over Congress or the House, what do you think? Do you think Nancy Pelosi is going to be the Speaker of the House again?
Absolutely, I do. And I think that there's a big call. You know, they say they have the votes to block her, but no candidate has stepped forward. So I think Nancy Pelosi will be the Speaker. There's a lot of talk, but nobody, you know, people are throwing out names, and then those names come back saying, well, I'm not going to run against Nancy Pelosi. So I think she will be the Speaker. I think a lot of this is just drama being fused or being drummed up a little bit by the media and also just from some... a small minority of House Democrats that don't, really don't want her, but I think she'll end up being the Speaker. She's got a lot of experience. I mean, she knows how to run the House. I mean, the way that she muscled that health care bill, Obamacare, through was very, very, I won't say tactful, but very strong-armed.
And very strong-armed. She was You'll just have to read it.
She was very successful in getting some of those blue dog Democrats who no longer exist. A lot of them were voted out. She was getting, you know, giving them sort of kickbacks to get on board and vote for that bill. So I think she'll be the Speaker, and it'll be interesting what nickname. Does Trump have a nickname for Pelosi?
I don't think he does yet. I'm sure he's like,
because that's what I'm most
thinking about it every night before bedtime. And so we'll see what he comes up with. But he seemed kind of giddy about her getting, you know, possibly getting the speakership again, or at least when he was in the speech.
I think,
so what's that about?
I think it's probably a little bit of a double-edged sword there. I mean, I think he knows that she's a tactful politician, and I think he knows that she'll be successful in many ways. But look, let's be honest. I mean, Pelosi's a little bit older. I think she's going to have some PR sort of media deficiencies just because she seems to be a little bit lost sometimes when she's in front of the microphone compared to, she's not quite as sharp as she was 6-8 years ago. I mean, we'll be honest about that.
Mm-hmm.
So wish her good health, of course, and a long life. But I think it'll be interesting to see how she governs the House. I mean, you've got McConnell, who just penned an op-ed talking about working together with the House. So it'll be interesting to see, because she's got to keep some of her crazy base at bay, because there's going to be a lot of talk of impeachment and stuff. So to me, it'll just be fascinating to see what happens and how she handles her role as Speaker. And I think that she's got a lot of issues that are going to be to her advantage, such as health care, maybe even immigration to a little degree, and possibly some ethics stuff and on Trump, which I think she'll have to her advantage. It'll be interesting how she navigates some of that stuff going forward.
Yeah, indeed it will. So, you know, we talked about a couple weeks ago, we talked about this new tension that this creates because the GOP doesn't control the House and Senate and White House now. And so there's going to be this hopefully a healthy tension, even if we can't agree on all the policy proposals.
You really think there's going to be healthy tension in today's political marketplace?
I'm optimistic. That's, one can hope. A tension, nonetheless. Let's hope that
I
it's
would
healthy.
Love to see. I would give Pelosi and Democrats credit if they would actually do something about the spending crisis in this nation. I don't suspect that they will.
I would be very surprised if they did.
But if they're able to improve on some of the budget busting that had happened the last few years under Paul Ryan, I'd be very impressed. And if they actually hold Trump accountable on some of the spending stuff, then I would be very, very impressed with the Democrats. Don't expect it, but I don't expect it under Republicans either. So I'm picking sides as one being better than the other on that issue. But I would love to see a change in scope and sort of trajectory in how they handle the budget.
Amen to that. That is for sure. But hey, we're about out of time, but let's also just touch on this Florida electoral drama going on now. So it's been what, 7, 8, 9 days since the election.
Yeah.
There, and they're still not done recounting votes.
What a mess. I guess my question is, Brooke, I haven't followed it maybe as close as you or some people have followed it. I've done some reading on it, but why is it always, and I get this, I understand that Broward and Palm Beach County have more people, but why does every other county get their votes in and have no problems? Why are they finding ballot boxes in bizarre places? And I just read a memo that the Democratic Party, I think last night or maybe two nights ago, sent out a tweet basically telling people to send in their signature, not affidavits, but something to do with their absentee ballots, to send them in when it's illegal to do so, to try to clear up some of these ballots that don't match signatures that they're trying to get counted and stuff. They're trying to basically break the law in broad daylight. And
they've been breaking the law. Like, they weren't even updating, Broward County at least, they weren't even updating their site like they were supposed to.
It was very bizarre.
Like, they haven't been breaking.
And then a state judge basically told them to comply with the law, and they were still thumbing their nose.
Yeah, they haven't been following the law since day one of this. Historically have had this problem
as well.
They've
had this problem so many times.
So. It's a mess.
It is a total mess. And I think my fear is, you know, just because the fragmentation going on in the nation is like a little bit worried about the possibility of more elections just being contested. I mean, you know, you start looking like a banana republic when you don't have free and fair elections and they don't go smoothly and we don't have a smooth transition of power. We have that going on in several states. Georgia, the governor, Stacey Abrams, that lost, is suing, and she has no mathematical way to make up the advantage, but she's suing, claiming her civil rights have been disenfranchised. And so we're seeing sort of the withering away of free and fair elections and the transfer of power, and that's very nerve-wracking, I would think, if you're an American citizen today.
Yeah, so maybe that's something we could be focusing on too, is each state securing their elections. Here in North Carolina, we passed the voter ID amendment recently, so the General Assembly will go and finish up their session, I guess. I don't know if it's technically called a short or a special session, but they're rounding out their short session November 27th, and they're going to hash out just the implementing details of voter ID. So that is one way, and it's just one step when it comes to securing our elections. There's still a lot of work to be done.
I saw in Florida there's like 200,000 illegal aliens voted.
How many?
200,000.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that was one article I read, and it said that Democrats were trying to sue to get those to be counted.
That's a problem.
So
That's a problem.
One example of maybe the need for voter ID right there.
Indeed it is. So anyways, we are out of time. You guys have an excellent Thanksgiving week. Thank you so much for joining us. If you have a comment and you're listening to us on the radio, shoot us an email, radio@nccivitas.org. And if you are watching on Facebook, feel free to shoot us a comment or question below. Okay, thank you guys. Have a good week.
Thank you.